It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Early last week, ACT MP Todd Stevenson relodged his end-of-life choice amendment bill, which seeks to expand the eligibility of the End-of-Life Choice Act. This follows recommendations from the Ministry of Health's Office review into the law, which was an official requirement of the original 2019 Act. Stevenson's bill has accepted all 25 recommendations. National's coalition agreement with ACT requires any proposed changes to the Act having to be progressed through as a members' bill. As well as this, Public Service Commissioner Sir Brian Roche has not ruled out absorbing ministries such as the Ministry of Women and Ministry of Pacific People into larger ministries. In 2023, the ACT Party had campaigned on removing these ministries. And last week, the Justice Select Committee report into four-year parliamentary terms recommended a referendum on the potential move, but had recommended some provisions of ACT Party leader David Seymour's provisions be scrapped. These provisions include an incoming government only being allowed a four-year term if the government agreed to give the opposition the majority in the select committee. This would mean that some governments would be three years and some would be 4 years. For our weekly catch-up with ACT MP Simon Court, I spoke to him about all these topics, starting with Todd Stevenson's members' bill. Stevenson originally submitted this members' bill back in September last year before resubmitting the bill more recently. What has changed since the original submission?
Well, last year the Ministry of Health did an independent review into the End-of-Life Choice Act. So Todd has been able to incorporate some of the feedback, particularly as it relates to irreversible decline and unbearable suffering, where people find out that they have a disease or an illness that is going to kill them and it's going to be incredibly painful and debilitating for them, but they don't have access to the end-of-life choice because what often happens, people have degenerative illnesses in their final weeks when they would choose to die with dignity. They no longer have the cognitive function or the physical ability to sign the form, essentially. So what Todd is proposing is that somebody who has an illness like motor neuron disease and who's shut out of the assisted dying process is going to be able to make that call and make sure that their wishes are acted on when their time comes.
With the original law, MPs voted based on individual preferences as opposed to the stances of the wider party. Although not being in Parliament at the time of the readings of the End-of-Life Choice Act, if this members' bill is pulled out of the biscuit tin, would you be in support of it and the changes Stevenson is proposing?
I certainly would. Todd's bill adopts every single recommendation that the Ministry of Health have made back to Parliament about how to improve the Act. And, you know, I know personally somebody who was affected by the current restrictions, David Seymour from Whangarei, and a former ACT candidate who had motor neuron disease and passed away, you know, after suffering unnecessarily. So look, my own personal experience of that and just knowing there'll be many, many people out there who'll be facing these challenges or have family members who will and who want to have this choice so that they can die with dignity and enjoy their remaining time with family members and loved ones.
On to our next topic, Public Service Commissioner Sir Brian Roche has not ruled out absorbing ministries such as the Ministry of Pacific People and the Ministry of Women into larger government agencies. How does the ACT Party feel about this potential move?
We certainly welcome any move that the public service has initiated to be more efficient and effective. But what's important and what we need to focus on is that real efficiency means serving every New Zealander equally according to their need, not duplicating ministries based on race and gender, because ACT's primary concern is that too many of these agencies already exist to carve people up by identity instead of delivering better results for everyone. So we're really keen to see the Commissioner's review focuses on efficient services rather than just mushing up and entrenching these identity-based bureaucracies into new ministries.
The National Secretary of the Public Services Association, Fleur Fitzsimmons, says that these ministries cost less than 0.1% of the government's annual budget and that the voice of underrepresented New Zealanders should not be cut off because the government is in a fiscal hole of its own making. Does the ACT Party acknowledge the harms that could come with absorbing these ministries into larger agencies instead of having a more direct, specialised approach to engaging with these communities?
Well, I disagree entirely with Ms. Fitzsimmons' proposition. I mean, I heard some other media commentators last week trying to work out with callers what has the Ministry for Women ever done for women. And I think it would be very difficult to point to one of these ethnic-based or gender-based ministries of actually having done anything for people. And I think, you know, no matter what the cost, whether it's a small cost or a significant cost, the fact that they exist to serve a minority that actually would be better served by having the whole of government focus on delivering services that meet their needs, whether it's healthcare for people in remote locations who may well be Māori, whether it's services for women, that whether it's cancer screening that's available. I mean, these ethno and gender-based ministries don't contribute to any of that. So I think it's time that we just reflected on what's important to New Zealand, what are the principles that we want to adopt for government, and what does government need to deliver for people.
You mentioned the Ministry of Women. Labour's Deputy Leader Carmel Cipollone says the government was ignoring these ministries, pointing to how the Ministry of Women was not consulted prior to the pay equity changes. Have these ministries been engaged at all, and would the ACT Party like for these ministries to be engaged in this proposal?
The proposal is put forward by Brian Roche, who's the head of the public service. And so this is an internal exercise that the public service is carrying out. I'm not privy to the terms of reference that Brian Roche has adopted for that. But of course, you'd want people who are subject to any change in their employment or change in their scope to have an ability to have their say about that, for sure. That's only fair.
Finally, last week, ACT Party leader David Seymour said his approach to four-year parliamentary terms was too complicated following the Justice Select Committee releasing its report on Seymour's bill. How is the party feeling about the Justice Select Committee's recommendations?
Well, I think it's encouraging that the Select Committee has recommended pushing ahead with the referendum, but it's disappointing that they've stripped out the ACT proposal, that there needs to be more rigour and more ability for the opposition to challenge, and that was, ACT's proposal was to have that challenge through the Select Committee process to give the opposition control of the committees that scrutinise government legislation. Because the idea is, if that politicians are going to stay in power longer, laws should get more thorough scrutiny from opposition-run select committees. ACT just believes that without that safeguard, a four-year term just means fewer elections and more power for the government of the day.
Committee Chair Andrew Bailey says the committee is not set on a specific date for a referendum on this. What would ACT like to see first before this is put to a referendum, and when would the party like to see this be achieved?
Well, as I said, we would like the proposal that's put to the voters to include a lever for the opposition to better scrutinise the government of the day, because ACT recognises that we won't always be part of a government, that there will be other governments after us, and potentially ACT in opposition would want the opportunity to scrutinise the government, as we expect that the current opposition parties would. So we're really keen to see that the opposition gets to chair select committees so they can better scrutinise government legislation. It sounds very process-focused, but we actually think it's really, really important to the functioning of our democracy.
And when would the party like to see this achieved?
We would like, once the changes that we are seeking are adopted, that would be the time to take it to a referendum.
That was the ACT Party Simon Court on Todd Stevenson's Members' Bill, Public Service Commissioner Sir Brian Roche's potential changes to different ministries, and the Select Committee's recommendations, the Justice Select Committee's recommendations regarding 4-year parliamentary terms.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.